change or how to lead people through change. It's really ultimately embedded through the whole program. It's really kind of threaded through everything that we did. And really, you know, it all adds up to several different tools in our toolkit to manage or lead change, which I think that's important because there's really no one change tool, in my view, that will work in every situation.
Meet Dovey, who graduated from the University of Houston's Executive Master's in Human Resource Development back in 2014. When she was in the program, Dovey worked in organizational change for the oil and gas division of a multinational engineering and consulting business. She explained to me about how the program not only helped her with managing change for major projects, but also how the mindset and tools covered in the program just as easily applied to change of any scale. Let's hear more from Dovey.
In my experience, when people, I think, are talking about change management, I really think that they're typically thinking of managing a big program or a large-scale change. But what the program taught me was really about the benefit of applying the change management thinking or change leadership mindset to any type of change, whether it's big or small, in an organization. So that could be, you know, changing a internal communication tool, or it could be a large kind of enterprise level implementation of a new ERP system, for example. But, you know, even if it doesn't require a change plan where you get, you know, key stakeholders involved, and you have an executive sponsor and all of that, you can really think about any tweak that you're making to the organization through this kind of change management or change leadership lens by thinking through, okay, regardless of size, who is this impacting? What are we changing for them? Are they clear about why we're changing it for them and what's in it for them from their perspective? Because that's really where the rubber meets the road, if you will. You know, the employees that are experiencing the change have to really take it on and run with it. You can't really push rope at people. They have to kind of pick up the other end and run with that.
Welcome to Executive HRD. I'm your host, Darren Short, and in this series of 10 episodes, we're lifting up the hood and looking inside of the University of Houston's Executive Master's in HRD to explore what it means to undertake an HRD Master's and to surface some of the expected and unexpected benefits. Along the way, we meet current students, alumni, and faculty members to learn about what makes the University of Houston program so special as it celebrates its 10-year anniversary. This episode is the second of three that explore content within the program, how it's learned and then used. And we'll do that in this episode by focusing on change leadership. With the help of graduates of the program, we'll look into lessons learned about tools for managing and leading change, developing a change leadership mindset, and the importance of the people side of change. We'll also hear about how the program helped participants to address their own fears and emotions around change, as well as several examples of how graduates of the program have benefited by applying their lessons learned to lead change in their own organizations. We kicked off the episode with Dovey, a graduate of the program, and we'll hear more from her again at the end of the episode. Next, let's meet the director of the Executive Masters, Dr. Consuelo Waite. Consuelo talked with me about how change is approached in the program, how that differs from how change is covered by other programs, and how change is threaded throughout the Executive Masters. Let's hear from Consuelo now.
Academic programs could approach change as a concept and leave it at that. You know, what is change? What are the models of change? We, on the other hand, we look at change as a behavior, as a mindset. Change is continuous across all courses. So all of our courses, in some way or form, they're talking about change, and it's made explicit. So each course is born from the notion of change. So if we're talking about learning and development, that is change. And so what does that change look like? We always tell them that we do not want them to come out as the one model practitioner, and especially around the concept of change. And so we bring in the diagnostic. So we do have the planned approach to change, the action research, appreciative inquiry, but we also have the dialogic, which is the emergent aspect of change. And in giving them all these theories and tools, because we do have toolboxes. They get a lot of tools. We always tell them this is not the end of the game. And so we ask them to always be mindful of context and to bring in their stakeholders and their target audiences to co-design. One of the ways we see them becoming change leaders is that now they're not just going into meetings for technical purposes, but they're also going into meetings with that awareness and understanding that this is a change opportunity. Change leadership is starting to show up. The analytical mindset, the ability to synthesize, that things are no longer fragmented, that as you learn more about yourself, about your team, about your organization, the whole is starting to show up. It's never static, it's dynamic. There is a high level of synthesis and evaluation. So that analytical mindset is, again, another indicator of change leadership. So subsequently then change, because we always say, oh, change is omnipresent, then how can the individual show up from a behavior perspective, from an awareness perspective, from a language perspective, in that omnipresence also, you know, embodying that, showing up, recognizing that everything they're doing, everything they're saying, even their nonverbal communication is an integral part of change. These individuals embody change in their everyday actions, in their language that they use, in how they're listening. And subsequently then change is, because it's a behavior, because it's a mindset, and because HR professionals are at the cusp of that space of helping the organization build its competency around change, HR professionals are leaders in this space. They understand what it is. They have tools, they have framework, but they themselves are interventions in their own actions.
From my own experience of being around change in organizations, it's typical for people to approach it with a single methodology and to view it as a rational step-by-step process. Almost as if the human aspect of organizations is set aside when we think about change. It's therefore interesting to listen to Consuelo speak about change as a behavior and a mindset, and about looking at change from both the diagnostic and dialogic perspectives. As Consuelo calls out, HRD professionals are leaders in the change space, and therefore it matters how they show up, that everything they're doing and saying is an integral part of change, and they therefore need to embody change in their everyday actions. There's a lot in that extract to explore, and so I met with graduates of the program to discuss three components of the program's approach to change: the tools, the emphasis on change leadership, and the focus on the people side of change. Let's hear about each of those conversations, starting with tools, which I discussed with Tracy, who graduated from the program in 2014. Tracy works on products innovation for a major organization that refines, distributes, and markets petroleum products throughout the United States, and previously worked and managed in talent acquisition. When we met, she provided an example of how she's used the tools and approaches covered by the program to manage change in her work.
So I am most proud of the work that I recently completed with my current employer. And the reason for that is I was moved into a brand new business area, into a brand new role, and I was asked to help lead and find a solution to something autonomously with a team of people that are subject matter experts. And that is a humbling opportunity to be able to have a company have that much faith in you from your past kind of experience. Say, hey, you know, we see that there are opportunities here. We don't know where they are, but we trust you and this team to figure it out and to help us. And what went well that helped make the change and make the project successful is back to some foundational learnings that I received in one of the classes in the program from Peter Block for Flawless Consulting. And some of the Flawless Consulting content directly suggested frameworks on how to implement and manage change. And the biggest piece of that that I feel was impactful and that went well was, you know, from the understanding, I made sure that I had all of the right people in the room and or I spoke with all of the right people that understood what it really required to perform the jobs, what our customers' needs were, what the challenges were, what the technology issues are or limitations, where our business wants to go in the next 5 to 10 years. And having that team of people and then reaching out to individuals in cross business functions to make sure that we knew all the information we needed to make the right suggestion, to test those assumptions with some of those people that would help implement the change later, and then come up and make the overall suggestion and let our leaders and directors know that we have spoken with all of these people and this is the voice of our employee base and our customers. And with that information, with that suggestion, we were able to receive approval very quickly within a day to be able to have the funding and move forward with some of these changes in the implementation that we needed. And then we also had some of those people that are now, you know, what I would call change agents on board with supporting the project of the implementation of the change. And that was one of the keys to success, honestly. You know, that flawless consulting approach and being inquisitive and mapping out all the information and then providing the data, you know, providing a few options for how we could move forward and getting that voice of the customer. We ended up eventually implementing that new department with new technology capabilities and onboarding customer capabilities and being set up for future sales and success. So, you know, making sure that that you have people along in the journey that are going to help you implement the change that will be the individuals that are impacted later by what you're proposing has been the biggest takeaway for me. And it's my go-to roadmap now for pretty much any kind of project that I'm leading.
Tracy's example there illustrates a couple of the program components mentioned earlier by Consuelo, those of tools and engaging people in the process. As Tracy mentioned at the end, these have combined to give her an overall approach to change, a go-to roadmap that she now utilizes for almost any project that she's leading. Let's hear next from Brittany, who graduated from the program in 2021. Brittany is a global learning and development manager for a tech business. When she and I spoke, she also emphasized the people side of change, and in so doing, called out the distinction between change management and change leadership. Let's hear from Brittany.
Throughout my career, I was only familiar with the term of change management. And anytime I thought about change, I just, you know, strictly thought about kind of that typical methodical approach. And it wasn't until the program that I got introduced to this whole concept of change leadership. And the more that I wrestled with that concept and learned more and read more about it, the more I fell in love with it. And the more that I lean into that concept more heavily than even change management, which I have a certification in. So I became a believer in change leadership through this program. I think one way to understand the difference is to think about the difference between a manager and a leader. You would have some concept around kind of the differences between those. But when I think about the difference between change management and change leadership, I think a change manager guides change or maybe even drives change by focusing on the systematic process and task-oriented side of a change. A change manager is really focused on planning and delegating to-dos and tracking milestones and ensuring project goals are met. And they really define success based on achieving milestones. And when I think about a change leader and how they approach change in a different way, the change leader is more aware of the emotional and behavioral factors in play as people encounter and navigate through change. And instead of seeing change as something to be controlled or a project to manage or something with specific defined systematic steps, they see it as an opportunity to create a new reality and inspire others to make sense of that reality and kind of opt in and join in on creating what that could look like. I think another distinction for me between change management and change leadership is transactional versus transformational. And I am someone who's personally motivated by the idea of transformation and creating a compelling future. So I lean much more heavily into the change leadership. And it definitely has impacted the way that I view change, because I think before I would, if there was a reorg that was happening, I would immediately think about my change plans and the project and the process and the milestones and the systems that need to be in place. Where now I think about, my first reaction is, how is this change impacting people? How will folks feel about this? What emotional and behavioral aspects are going on? Where will we find resistance? And where are the opportunities to motivate and inspire others to want to participate in this change? So it's much more about kind of facilitating that transformation and coaching and motivating individuals through their unique journey of arriving at this new big picture.
It's clear that the Executive Masters places a significant emphasis on change leadership. And Brittany's extract there helps us in understanding the distinction between change management and change leadership. And that distinction clearly impacted Brittany's own approach to change. It's interesting to think of change management as being transactional, about controlling processes, tasks, planning, delegation, and milestones. And to think of change leadership as about transformation, people, collaboration, and inspiration. It may help to dig into change leadership through an example. We'll hear several in this episode, and the first of those comes from Ashley, who graduated from the program in 2016. Ashley works in sales readiness in the oil and gas industry and spoke with me about how she now uses her learning about change and especially how she engages people during change. Let's hear from Ashley.
Sometimes they just need advice, you know, just listening to them. Sometimes they just don't feel heard and they just want somebody to listen to their feelings, listen to how they're handling and processing the situations. Validating their feelings is sometimes all that people are looking for. A number of years after the program, during COVID, my organization, we went through a whole scale reorganization, and it was very scary for people. There was a lot of change, and how I led my organization through it was a lot of things that I learned in this program. In my group specifically, a lot of the roles were changed. So I had to be very, you know, open and honest and open lines of communication, explain what was happening, you know, because I saw and witnessed where other managers just said, this is how it is. This is what's happening. This is what's changing. And it didn't end well for them. They had a lot of people that didn't adopt the way that they needed to. They had people leave the company. So I think how you as a leader take your teams through events like this is also very important. And that's kind of an example of something that I went through after this program that I felt like I did differently had I not gone through it. Because there's always going to be change. I mean, that's the one constant in life is change. And, you know, when you're taking organizations through something like that, you have to be very specific and pointed in how you're doing it. And I never really thought of it that way. I just was like, okay, yeah, we make these changes and people adapt. And that's not at all what happens. And that's not at all how people are successful taking our organizations through large scale change.
Ashley's example there illustrates practical actions that a change leader can take to engage people impacted by change. As she mentioned, people want to have an open line of communication, to feel heard, to feel like their reactions have been validated. Ashley also highlighted the emotional reactions to change, which include fear, and how those reactions are only human when people are directly impacted, as when jobs are changing. The benefits that can flow from engaging people like that is that you develop a sense of shared ownership of the change and an acceptance of change, in some cases, even create change champions or agents. Stephen, another graduate of the program, also spoke to me about the emotional response to change. His account added an extra dimension to it by showing how introducing the component of change leadership not only helps change within organizations, but it can also help those going through the program to rethink their own responses to changes that affect them personally. Here's Stephen.
I think we see a more receptive person of change, a person who is more methodical about change, someone who would ask questions to get people to think. And so I've heard that, you know, you ask great questions, love the questions that you ask, you make us think. I talk about being junior in my career when I was first into the program, because I really was, you know, my attitude was changes. Why are we doing this? You know, do they not know the impact this is going to have? But why are they wasting the money on this initiative? In my role, I hadn't had to do much change management or lead through change. My role has been more kind of support of change management initiatives that have been kind of initiated at the top. And so I understand sometimes when we're going through change is how we respond to change. You know, so we have an initial response to the change, albeit whether it's good, negative, or indifferent. But sometimes when you're a leader, you have to understand how to kind of support the objectives of the organization, whether you agree or disagree. And sometimes you just have to get on board. So I've been involved with some pretty big projects and initiatives, whether it's changing out a new applicant tracking system, a new payroll system, or the human resource information system. My role is just really kind of support change and be positive about changes and, you know, help communicate any issues that I see to those who are leading the change and managing the change.
I find it interesting to listen there to Stephen as he shares his personal account of how he now views change differently, and how that shift inside of him has made him a better change leader within the organization. It feels to me like he has a more empathetic reaction to people impacted by change, and that empathy helps him to lead change differently. Of course, fear is only one possible emotional reaction that people can have to change. And the range of reactions came up when I spoke with Ashley. As you'll recall from earlier in the episode, Ashley graduated from the program in 2014 and works in sales readiness. Let's hear more from Ashley about those different emotional reactions and their implications.
For me, change was always very scary. There's a lot of fear involved in change. And learning what I did in the program and how to overcome that and just kind of freeze, assess why I may be feeling this way, change my perception, and then move forward really gave me a different perspective and an ability to handle change, you know, in my professional and personal life. A lot of what we talked about, a lot of what we learned is how adults learn and how adults adapt to information and change. So when you're taking an organization through whole scale change or reorganizations, you have to handle it in a certain type of fashion because there's a lot of fear. There's also sometimes excitement. So if there's opportunity for promotion or doing something new, I've found some people feel like, okay, you know what? I've been waiting for this. This is going to open up a huge opportunity for me. And then I've had the very opposite of people like, oh my gosh, is my job going away? Are they going to make me do something I don't want to do? And sometimes not having control of it. So lack of control is also, I think, probably what most people struggle with as well. And so the more open and honest and more communications you have around what's happening and why it's happening, the better people adapt to it. It's just understanding the human aspect and element that we learned in class as to how we react to change and why people react in certain fundamental ways and how to adapt yourselves and your teams in order to get the best results. Before, I just would just kind of make change and involve those necessary when I needed to. But everything's very systematic now. So, you know, it's very structured. Involving people early, things that we just kind of all learn throughout the program.
Let's pause briefly and think about what we've learned so far in the episode. We've learned about the difference between change management and change leadership, about the importance of having multiple change tools, about the importance of engaging people in the change process, and about emotional reactions to change. I've saved two extracts for the end of the episode because both pull together many of these strands to highlight how the change leadership approach learned in the program delivers benefits to individuals and the organization as a whole. Let's hear first from Adan, a recent graduate of the program, who's a co-founder of a small engineering firm in Houston. Let's hear about how the program changed Adan's approach to change and the benefits for his company.
Learning from this forum, I've learned that to kind of be more understanding of what people go through with change, because I also dealt with change. I've given resistance. Before, I didn't take change very well. I like things the way that I've learned them. And it was not easy getting uncomfortable and learning a new way of doing things, right? But like the program, one of the big things that I learned was when I'm thinking about change, I'm thinking about, what am I fearing? What is my fear? And I have this one little poster in my office where I put the different types of fears that I can, that can kind of take over me. When someone asks me about something that is different, something that is brings change, I look into that poster and I say, like, what's my fear here? Do I have fear of commitment? Do I have fear of the unknown? As a leader, I have to constantly be reminding myself, when change is in front of me, what is it that is holding me back from embracing that change? The me before would give orders to people on what they should do when it came down to change. And the me today has dialogue with other leaders on, what do you guys think we should do today? That style of interacting with other individuals changes outcomes. I realized that more was getting done in a way where people were buying in genuinely versus just agreeing because they had no choice. This program, I mean, it was very transformative for me, and it gave me a whole different perspective. I'm very proud of what I've been able to accomplish because of the program, because it changed how I interacted with humans as a whole. You know, when we have a situation, we sit down with leadership and we all kind of figure out, you know, how do we solve the situation? I don't come in with premeditated decisions, right? And it kind of gives them a feel of inclusivity in the decision-making of the company. We're transitioning to a new state, a new office space. And I'll say that's good, because that's the fun part. We use that as rapport with each other, right? Like, we get to contribute. We get to talk about how we envision our space. But then there's some very tough conversations that we got to talk about. Some of them happened during COVID. Like, what do we do? You know, numbers are going up. Should we continue seeing clients in-house, or should we continue, or should we just stay virtual? Some of these conversations have been tough, but how we have them, it changed the responses I was getting. I wasn't getting people to commit to things that they weren't agreeing with and walking out and maybe sharing that they weren't agreeing with that idea. They were leaving it in the table, and that we were all contributing towards a solution.
What a powerful statement about the impact that the program can have on individuals going through it, and how that learning translates into behavior changes in the workplace, and in turn, to positive benefits for the organization. And for a final word on change leadership, let's hear again from Dovey, who we featured right at the start of the episode. Here's Dovey talking about how the program revised her approach to leading change, and how she used that learning to help her company through multiple organizational changes that all happened at once.
I think what I've learned is, in some ways, from the program, you know, specifically talking about these things, that a lot of times when people are vocal, it's because they care. So people that look or sound like blockers, actually, you just need to talk through, have honest conversations with them. Because ultimately, I think change is a good opportunity to connect with people instead of alienate them by presenting a change that they don't understand or don't want. So if you talk them through what's changing, what your vision is, why you think it's a good idea, but also listen, if you can get some of those people on board, they end up becoming your biggest champions. And then the change is just that much easier to lead. And even if you can't win them over, if they feel hurt, they end up being not as much of a resistor. So I've vastly changed my approach to leading change at every size, really as a result of working with it as a constant topic and threaded through the whole program. In the fall of 2019, our business was going through a tremendous amount of change, simultaneously different projects in flight. So on the one hand, we were planning a physical office move from one part of town to another. We were also changing our HR service provider. We have an outsourced HR service model, and we were changing out our benefits, our healthcare benefits. So there were a lot of moving parts and a lot of plates to keep spinning. And what I did differently was I reached out to other people for help instead of trying to lead and manage all that on my own. So ultimately what I did is I recruited a few teams of people around the business to help me think through every one of those projects and really mostly just serve as my kind of, I don't want to say board of advisors, but really counsel. They weren't really doing any heavy lifting or even doing a lot of the doing of the projects, but they were my eyes and ears in the organization and helping with key stakeholders to manage expectations, to get feedback, to look out for unintended consequences. And I think all that together really helped manage through what was a truly, what felt like a truly chaotic season for me, and come out the other end of that with a lot of actually really happy employees. You know, the new office space is beautiful. And when we moved in, that day one experience, every computer worked perfectly. All of the printers were functioning appropriately. Everyone had, you know, all the things they needed in their office. And then the benefits enrollment and our payroll, all that stuff was very seamless as we transitioned into the new year. And I don't think I could have done it without taking a different approach to those change projects, which I'm not sure I would have had the wisdom to take a few steps backwards and look at it from a more holistic view. So ultimately, I can't imagine doing what I'm doing now had I not been through the program. So I'm really, really thankful for all the things that I learned in the course of that study.
Thank you so much for joining me for this look at change leadership and its role within the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD. I also want to thank my guests today who so willingly shared their accounts of the program and its benefits. You heard from Dovey Krause, Adar Morales, Ashley Naud, Tracy Chavana, Brittany Smith, Consuelo Waite, and Stephen Woods. I hope that their stories have encouraged you to reflect on your own approach to leading change. I'll be back next time with another episode when we'll look at a third aspect of the content of the Executive Masters, that of dialogic change. Until then, this is Darren Short signing off from Executive HRD. Executive HRD is brought to you by the University of Houston's Executive Masters in HRD and is a production of allbypodcast.com.